The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Musketeers, I'm Francis, and this show coming to you from Motueka Studio here at Fresh FM, your community radio station. We interview people on topics of interest within our community. And in today's episode, Chrissy Small will be speaking with Ali Boswick, Chief Executive of Nelson Tasman Chamber of Commerce.
Kia ora, Ali. Nice to have you on the line.
Kia ora. Lovely to be here.
Look, can you tell us how and why the Nelson Tasman Chamber of Commerce came into existence?
Yes, certainly. The very first iteration of the Nelson Tasman Chamber of Commerce was in 1858, and it was established by a group of business people in Nelson who were needing to look at how their business operated in the wake of essentially the gold rush in Australia collapsed. So what happened basically was that the export market in Australia just vanished overnight because they had a huge economic downturn. So in order to then try and find ways to make these businesses viable locally, they came together and they set up the Nelson Tasman Chamber of Commerce in 1858. And the organisation has carried on in some way, shape or form since that date. And I find that always a really important point to make about the Chamber, because what that tells me is that if we've been here for that long, that means there's been a strong business community for that long, which I think is good to remember when things are not that flash, because it means that actually, no matter what we're going through, there's always a way through it. And so when we've been, you know, through COVID, recessions, depressions, goodness knows what we're hitting at the moment, there's always going to be an end to it.
That is so true. Tell us how your organisation is currently funded.
We have several funding streams. Our main funding stream is, not surprisingly, our membership. So people pay to become members of the Chamber of Commerce. So that funds us to about 30% of our revenue. We also deliver a lot of events. So we charge for not all, but some of those events we charge for. And they also encourage sponsorship. We also have a family of what we call our strong region partners, who essentially support the Chamber of Commerce to provide advocacy services and things that don't necessarily have an immediate and obvious return on investment. So we have sponsorship, membership, events. We also do training, which is a reasonable part of our income these days. And we work closely with a program called the RBP, which is run through the Ministry for Business, Employment and Education. And that's run through the Regional Development Agency. So we do training, everything from literally 1 hour snippets in terms of how you manage cash flow right through to, you know, a 2-day project management course and many things in between. And then the final way that we really get revenue is through supporting exporters with certification and documentation. So they're the main ways that we generate revenue.
What are the main roles for those within your organisation?
We're a very small organisation. We do a lot, but we're quite small. So my role as chief executive, obviously, is to manage, oversee all aspects of the organisation, and I deal directly with our board. Working alongside me, I have a partnership and membership manager. I have a marketing executive. We have a mentor manager and a training manager. And then so we have an admin support person who's just about to come on board.
Sounds like a busy group.
We're very busy. We cover a lot of ground, and we tend to all, while we do individual jobs, we all work together. So, you know, we often talk about the fact that it kind of really doesn't matter who you are. You know, we can all be found pulling down banners and doing the washing up at the end of an event. You know, we all chip in and we all make things work in the best way that we can.
Sounds like a nice little unit, actually.
It is. It's a really, yeah, it's fun. You know, we meet a lot of people, we expend a lot of energy, and in order to really sort of keep that up, you've got to have a good team of support around you to make sure that everybody's always singing from the same song sheet and essentially just enjoying what we do, which I think, you know, most of the time we do.
How many members do you currently have within our region?
We've got just over 530. I think it's about 534 at last count, which is, for a chamber of our size, is actually, it's a good number of people. And those 530 odd members, they represent about 8,000 people, because every company that is a member, everybody within that company gets the membership benefit. So if you happen to be working for a company that is a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you can access all of the services that we provide as a member.
Great. So what sort of feedback are you currently getting from your business membership with this current economic climate?
Well, we just did a very quick snap survey, actually, on our last newsletter, and it's fair to say that there's quite a bit of concern out there at the moment with what's obviously happening in the Middle East. I think prior to that, we were seeing a definite uplift in optimism, and people were feeling like we were sort of getting through what had been quite a difficult time. But this has just really sort of put a bit of a downer on things again, primarily due to the fact that we all know at some point prices are going to start increasing, particularly with fuel, as they already have. And that has an impact across every aspect of business. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. You have to actually receive goods or receive supplies or send or export. Fuel impacts all of us, and so that those energy wobbles really do sort of filter their way down to the smallest of businesses and the smallest of regions, unfortunately. So we are seeing a little bit of nervousness, and people at the moment really just want to be as informed as possible. They just asked if we can sort of, any updates that we have that we feed them through. But yeah, it's not the most settled of times, I would say.
So, Ellie, what sort of supports does the Nelson Tasman Chamber of Commerce offer members to help with their businesses?
We offer a range of support. So we start with literally before people have even started a business. We do offer mentoring to the business community and to people who are thinking about setting up a business. So we have somebody on staff who will sit down, work through a business idea with people, give them feedback. If they're at the point of actually being a little bit more formulated, they might work through business plans, cash flow forecasts, those sorts of things. So we literally start right at the very beginning. We also provide training, as we said before. So at the moment, we're doing quite a lot, as you probably might imagine, of AI. Training. We started off in a kind of very generic way, but now we're focusing on some certain specific areas of business. So AI for marketing, AI for sales, those sorts of things. So we're getting a little bit more discipline specific. We also provide advice to exporters. We're part of the National Chamber of Commerce, the New Zealand Chambers of Commerce, and also connected internationally through our affiliation. So we have access to documentation support. We provide certificates of origin for exporters. We can help them with free trade agreement certificates, direct them to the right people to get the right things that they need. We also have a network of affiliates throughout the world, actually. In just every major city, we can find a friendly face if you happen to be an exporter, which is a really good thing. We also provide networking. That's a big part of what we do. So every month we have a BA5, which is for our members. It's members only. That's one of the few things we do, which is just for members. And that's usually, we typically get about 100 people coming to those, 80 to 100. And we hold them at different businesses around the region. So we promote the business. And obviously people get to network and meet and do business. And they're very, very popular and they sell out very quickly. We hold an annual conference to be able to talk about key issues that are sort of bigger than the individual business. Maybe some of those macro issues that are facing us, got a few of those at the moment. And then obviously we have the Business Awards, which is a good opportunity to review your business and also get some support and input from judges who are business experts in the region. And we provide promotion opportunities as well. So if you want to just promote your business, you want to be able to connect with other businesses, and we provide a number of ways that you can do that. So a fair range of services.
Gosh, it sounds quite comprehensive. Now, going back to the business awards, can you tell our listeners a bit about these awards and what they mean for our local businesses, and how long have they been going?
The Business Awards have been going since 1986, a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, we're moving into our 37th Business Awards next year. So, yeah, definitely been around for a while. And the Business Awards are really valuable because they give businesses the opportunity to look at their business. You step back, we ask those questions that really make people have to think about what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it, how effective that is, which gives people, even if they don't win, a really good opportunity to sit down and review how they're actually operating. We also, the Business Awards, as I said, we have a team of judges who are people who have been in business, advise business, and they are able to give advice to the Business Awards entrants, and often do through the process, so that we can go back and let people know, you know, how their application stacked up, why they won or why they maybe didn't win. So it's a really good opportunity really to sit back and review what you're doing.
Now, is there any opportunity for a people's choice in these business awards?
We have had people's choice in the past for a young business leader and a business leader category. We stopped doing that. We shied away from that simply because when we were doing that, we found that it was more of a popularity contest, which I guess is a people's choice, but it was those people who had the biggest social media engagement, and not everybody does. And because voting was on social media, it just felt that it was quite biased to people who actually were just very active in that space. So we've thought about doing something similar again, and we may well go back to it now that more people are using social media. But at the time when we stopped it, it felt a little bit unfair.
Do you think that more businesses should actually utilise social media to their advantage?
I think if you don't, you're probably missing out on a market for sure. And it's sometimes difficult for people. Social media is a really interesting channel to use because it's impossible really to ignore in this day and age if you're in business. You want to have those communication channels with your customers, with your potential customers, but it's also a way that we know that it can be fraught because it's a channel that other people can access potentially and also undermine what you're doing without necessarily being informed fully. So it's an area that some people get a bit nervous on, but I would say absolutely for most businesses, not all, but I'd say for 99% of businesses, if they're not utilising social media, then they're really missing an opportunity.
Right. Now, you also have a speaker series. Can you tell us about some of the speakers you've had on board in recent times?
Yeah, sure. So we've got it's a Go Accounting speaker series that we have and run them quarterly. And they tend to be sort of more politically based into the speakers. You know, we've had everybody from Jacinda Ardern. She was one of our speakers. In fact, our next speaker is the Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, is coming to speak in April. So we do tend to sort of attract politicians. But we've had everybody from the CEO of WOW through to Bob Drury. So, yeah, we've had, you know, leading business people. We have had some sports people as well. We try and get people who are sort of quite inspirational. The best way to say it, to come and speak, because it means that, you know, obviously for business people, they take time out of their busy day. They need to know that they're going to come and listen to somebody who's interesting. We've had other politicians. We've certainly, you know, we've had Nicola Willis has come to speak, David Seymour. As they come through, they slot into our speaker series. So it does tend to be sort of sit in that political space quite a lot of the time.
What about local business leaders? Do you get many of those wanting to speak?
We do, and we include a lot of local people for our... We do another series, the Westpac Smart Series, which is sort of slightly similar, but tends to be a little bit shorter. And for that, we've had both mayors speak, actually, Nick Smith and Tim King. We've had Volker Kunch, who's the CEO of Cawthron. We've had Johnny Hendrickson, who's the CEO of Shuttle Rock, the digital design company. We've had Mirjana Stevens, who is a director at Wakatoo Incorporation. We have had a number of economists that have come through that series as well. And in fact, our next speaker for that series is Jeremy Banks, who's also at Wakatoo, but he's also a board member of the Reserve Bank, and he has been involved in the settlement of the Nelson Tents case. Mm-hmm. So he's coming to talk about that.
That would be a very interesting talk.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Can't wait for that one.
Absolutely. Okay, these are some of the events you've got coming up. Are there any training events that you've got on the boiler? And can you tell me if these are for members only, or are they open to public if they're paying?
They are. The only event that's members only is our BA5. All other events that we do are available and open to people who are non-members of the Chamber. Okay, so coming up soon, these are the events we've got, which also does demonstrate, I guess, the breadth and depth of what we do. So we've got a training for fire extinguisher use for businesses. We've got Mastering International Trade, which is a webinar, and this is a new AI tool called ICC OneClick, which essentially is providing up-to-date documentation for exporters to understand what's required in every market. Then we've got our BA5, which is for members only. Then we've got our Go Accounting speaker series with the Prime Minister, followed by the Interpeople Business Women's Network with Superintendent Tracy Thompson from the Nelson Police. We've then got an event with eSolar, which is Navigating Rising Energy Costs and Sustainable Solutions for Business. Then we have our Westpac Smarts event, which is with Jeremy Banks. We have an AI training in marketing and communications. And we have an event which is 7 Ways to Grow Your Business. And then back to our next BA5. Honestly, we've got dozens. I could keep going, but it might be such a long list.
So how can people see this list?
If they go to our website, which is commerce.org.nz, all of our events and training are listed on the website. And also on the website, they can sign up to our e-newsletter. So they'll then receive a weekly newsletter from us, which also highlights everything that we've got coming up.
It sounds like a great resource. It really does. Now, obviously, there's advantages by being a member. Do you want to quickly run through what those are?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing, obviously, as I say, is the BA5, which is not the main thing, but one of the things is our BA5, which is our monthly networking event. And members also get a preferential rate to our events, so they always get it at a slightly cheaper rate. And they also are able to access more support through our mentoring. So if you're not a member, you get one free session of mentoring. If you are a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you get 3 free sessions.
Right. Do you do a business directory?
We do. So on our website, which is the same email address, we have a business directory. So everybody who's a member is on that. So you can go in and see those as well. That's a good point. I forgot that one.
Yeah, that's all right. So how can people become a member, and what kind of cost are they looking at?
So basically, if they go to the website, it's a very easy click to just apply to become a member of the Chamber, and it's a very simple form, an online form to fill in. Our prices start for, we base our membership on the number of full-time employees in a company. So we it's a very sort of trust-based model. We ask you to tell us how many people work for you, and then your pricing depends on that. But essentially, the cheapest or the smallest FTE is $260, plus there'll be a sort of an admin fee for the first year. It takes up to just over $300 a year. And we go up to just over $1,200 for a company that's got more than 20 people working for it.
Okay. And so you are a charitable trust, is that right?
Yes, we are. Well, we're actually an incorporated society, so our members essentially own us. So we're an incorporated society, and we've just reincorporated, which we needed to do as they've just changed the legislation. So we basically have a membership that create our incorporated society.
Okay. And so you're representing Nelson Tasman. Does it go any further? Do you have branches over in Marlborough or further south?
No, but we're based here at the Mahi Tahi Collab in Nelson City, which is on the campus with NMIT. We're in partnership with the Regional Development Agency, NMIT, and ourselves. And we've just recently opened another location in Mapua. And one of our colleagues is located out there, Trina Zimmerman, who looks after all of our training. She's located full-time out in Mapua. And then others of us come and go and use that space as well. We're only within the Nelson Tasman region at the moment. There's a Marlborough Chamber of Commerce that's already in existence, and we work closely with those guys.
Great. And that hub out in Mapua, that's that new building, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the new collab. Yeah,
it's just along from where I live. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, well, you should pop in. Go and have a look. Honestly, it's really cool.
Right. And people can rent spaces there, eh? Is that
yes.
right?
It's a collaborative working space. So we've got, as we have here in Nelson, you can basically sign up as a full-time collaborator or a part-time, or you can go casual. And then they've also got meeting rooms that you can use. And obviously there's just nice facilities, and there's a lot of nice sort of collegial atmosphere.
And of course it would have up-to-date Wi-Fi.
It does.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
So for those IT experts who are working from home, if they're sick of working from home, they can book themselves a space.
Exactly. In fact, we often say we're competing with the kitchen table. You know, basically, if you're just at your kitchen table for most of the week and you're on your own, it's quite nice sometimes just to get out at least once a week and go and work with other people.
Right. Okay. Now, do you do a mentorship with students coming through high school?
We do, in that we work with an event or an organisation called Young Enterprise. And Young Enterprise is managed nationally, and there's a trust that runs that. And it's for typically years 12 and 13 students. And they create a business, and they go through a process of support and a few tests that they need, like a Dragon's Den test.
Mm-hmm.
And they then compete for the local regional finals, and the winner of that then takes part in the national final. And we support Young Enterprise with the event and connecting students to coaches or mentors to help them through that process.
Well, how exciting to be a young person these days.
It's a very cool program, actually, Young Enterprise. And there's some amazing people who've gone through Young Enterprise. And in fact, last year we had our regional finalists. They went on to come second in the national final. So these three young men have a company called Zensha, which is a matcha protein drink. And they came second in the whole country. And that's out of something ridiculous, like 3,000 students who participate.
Right. When you look at what our youth are doing, I mean, look at the Cheer Sisters, for example.
Yeah, amazing.
It is amazing that these young people, they've grown up here, gone to school here, and then they've created their businesses here. Well, before we go, I'm going to get you to choose a song to go out on.
I do love a little bit of Don McGlashan, Anchor Me.
Okay.
Love that one.
One of my favourites too.
Yeah.
Look, thank you so much, Ellie. It's been a really great fact-finding mission today, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
And the storm clouds roll and the gulls they call anchor me, anchor me, anchor me. Salt spray lash the shivering skin, where the green waves crash and the whirlpools spin. Anchor me, anchor me, anchor me. Bells they sound when you lift me high, when you pull me down, when you pull.
Thanks for listening to The Musketeers. I'm your host, Francis, and we'll catch you next time.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.